This is the Indie Dads Podcast. I'm Malcolm.
And I'm Brian.
And we're a couple of dads sharing our journey about starting out and bootstrapping our indie businesses while still prioritizing our young families. We believe that you can bootstrap a successful SaaS, freelance, or indie business while still enjoying the family life.
Join us as we share our learnings from building our businesses from scratch. Hey, Malcolm, how you doing?
Hey, Brian, I'm doing rather well this week. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Yeah, I mean, it's just been busy, but busy at work, busy at home, but in a good way. Nothing really too bad going on. How about you?
Yeah, I'm just relieved to have like electricity and internet again. since the last time we talked, we were having load shedding. And then that finally came to an end. And then the very first evening, I actually got up the courage to get back to work. Literally, my internet had been working the whole day. And I sat down to work and I didn't have internet. So it's like, well, I guess I am sleeping instead. So, but yeah, the rest of the week went all right. So slowly but surely getting back into the groove and making some progress. So yeah, it's been good. How about you? What did you get up to the last week?
Looks like you were
super productive. I mean, that list is pretty long by now.
I'm trying to think back to what we did since last time. Mostly, I think it's been trying to figure out what the heck we're going to do for marketing this thing. I mean, and that's what my rants have been about on Twitter as well lately. It's mostly, you know, when I'm saying you, I'm really pointing four fingers back at myself and us. Mm. So, you know, it's like, okay, we picked a product that we think really truly has some opportunity. But one of the things that we noticed about our competitors or future competitors is they're not good at marketing. Like nobody can find them, even if they're out there. And that's because it's really hard to market in a saturated market like this. You know, it's hard to get attention, I should say, because you can't just write the typical blog posts in a super saturated market like this. Saturated is probably not the right word. Super busy market. You can't write all the typical like blog posts because they've already been done before.
Mm. So you're just going to be like one of 100 of the same topic, and you're not really going to have anything new to say, right?
Yeah, there's definitely no silver bullets. So it's going to be a combination of a whole bunch of stuff that it turns into hopefully like a snowball over time that just is a conglomerate of a bunch of different things. Like I'm thinking, you know, we'll want to get listed in integration directories. We'll want to get on Zapier and be in that directory. We'll want to get in some other places, some other plugin type directories. And we'll definitely want to do some kind of content marketing. But to answer your question, it's been like trying to figure out what we're going to do. So we started out with our blog. We've got our headless blog set up. Wrote an initial kind of thesis, like why in the world, if there's already 700, and there are literally 700 on just one directory online, g2.com, if there are already 700 CRMs, what are we thinking? Do we really need another one? And our argument is yes, because when you slice and dice that 700, you realize that most of them are going for enterprise or for really big customizable kitchen sink kind of things. And you know, like what we're trying to do is table scraps to the big companies. You know, like we're going after the people they don't even care about. So maybe that's why there's not a ton of a competition, but our thesis is that similar to, Basecamp, for example, right? They're not trying to take on enterprise. They're just trying to provide something generically useful for small businesses. And that's kind of our thesis. So I wrote that up, posted that. And what I wanted to do was write a couple more so that we had some content out there just to kind of get it baking and see what it does. Got one more up there, which was based on experience that I had with the real estate investor previous kind of company that I worked with. They all knew about Zapier. They wanted to automate some things. They didn't know whether, like they didn't know to call it automation. They just called it a bunch of other things. Like I want it to automatically send me emails. They would say, They would say the word automatically, but they didn't know what to search for, how to do it. And so I wrote kind of a how-to guide, how to get started on Zapier using a fictional use case, which was like, let's imagine that you won a contest as a small business to advertise for free in a magazine. How do you turn that ad into real leads, concrete leads that you can track? I mean, because people might call you, they might go to your website, but it would be nice if we could track those to the actual magazine. So I set up this fictitious kind of use case where there's a link that points to an online form that you can fill out to get a coupon. And then how do you know when that form is filled out? How can you do all this for free? So wrote that up, ended up being like a monster of an article in terms of like length and like work that went into it, bunch of screenshots and stuff. And I really tried to make it as simple as possible. And that's kind of as far as I got. I want to write one more. We just have to decide what it is.
Yeah.
So that was what I did.
Well, just to stick with what you were saying, I really like that content though, because I mean, small businesses, they, you know, a lot of them really don't have the technical acumen, and we already decided that that was kind of the target market that we're going for. So I really like the fact that we're kind of going, not necessarily, I'm pretty sure we'll do a bunch of CRM related stuff as well, but just helping small businesses in a practical way. You know, how do you automate an email and set up a lead form with on Google Forms and translate that into something useful? And I think there's a bunch of opportunity there. And what that does, why I like that, is it establishes like our intent. We really want to help small businesses achieve their goal and not have to let technology get in the way. We're hoping that our product is central to that, because we believe that, you know, one of the most important things of running a small business is your relationships with your customer. And hopefully we can streamline that for you, but that doesn't mean we're not going to try and help you with some other practical stuff. I mean, we've got a bunch of technical knowledge. There's no reason why we shouldn't share that. So yeah, I think we're on a, and same as you, you know, as I know that one article or two articles is not going to win the day, but I think a bunch of little things is going to. And in the beginning, let's be realistic, it's going to be high touch. So once we have an MVP out, I foresee both of us just practically going through hopefully some emails that we've collected via the sign up, via the landing page, and just reaching out, you know, searching on LinkedIn for small business owners and that kind of thing, and saying, hey, you know, this is what we're doing. Here's a, you know, you can use it for free. So the whole zero barrier to entry thesis, you know, that people can get value proposition without having to do anything. That's gonna, and we're not trying to capture the market as well, right? So we don't want to take over the world. Right. We want to run a business that is a source of income and freedom for a handful of people. And I think in this space, that's a realistic thing. Certainly, I'm like you, I'm still waiting to see what we're missing. but I haven't seen it yet. Part of that, so that kind of leads nicely into my feedback, is what I've been doing this last week is having a look at CRMs on the app stores. So a lot of them are on the web, but because I'm kind of like taking ownership of the mobile side, looking at all the CRMs in the app stores, the ones that have the best ratings, and the app stores are really helpful because you can go to like sort by rating, you can go read all the app store reviews and see what people like and they don't like. And that's super helpful to see, you know, what people are thinking in terms of the space. It's so weird because like the really established people like HubSpot, for example, you know, their app store rating is not that fantastic. And there's a lot of people complaining that the mobile apps don't do everything that the website does. And, you know, these are people with really, really deep pockets, and it doesn't seem like they're, you know, delighting their customers in the way that they should. And then they're the ones that have the best app store ratings have no web presence at all. They really dive deep into, and some are surprisingly only on one platform, like it's Android only and not on iOS. A couple of them are both on iOS and Android.
So why do you think that is?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. It seems like the ones that are, I don't know if it's like a, it's because the ones that are like that go deep in the mobile apps, they really go into like plugging into the phone's dialer, and you know, so you've got that caller ID, and you know, those kinds of things, and probably a lot of it has to do with, I don't know, resources. I really couldn't say, because I would logically think that if you've got a website, a lot of the time the stereotypical thing is you go web, and then mobile is a kind of afterthought, and then that shows up in the App Store reviews. I think that it's probably the smaller companies that don't have a lot of resources that maybe only have mobile take go mobile, and then kind of will get to the web later. Like the ones that I saw that were really successful, there are some App Store review comments that said, hey, you know, how about having a web thing? And then the reply is always, yeah, we're getting to it. It's on our backlog. Yeah, it's been really interesting. I think I was really encouraged by, you know, so practically what I did was I installed the app and then started recording the onboarding, like me, first time user, just getting used to what does this app do? Is it intuitive? And kind of like making comments to myself as I go through. And then we made a YouTube channel, and I just created a private listing so you and I can have a look at those onboarding videos and make comments on them and see what we like and what we don't like, and that kind of thing. So I thought that was, you know, quite helpful as a collaboration. You know, it's like a 8-minute video or whatever. It saves a lot of time if one of us is just doing that and then the other one is just looking at that video afterwards.
Yeah. In fact, I went in and it was super helpful for me, because I always worry that I'm biased. So hearing your thoughts first and then like adding my comments below, either seconding what you said or like adding different thoughts as well. I think it's going to be super useful to look back on later on. Cause like a lot of this stuff, at first I think we were a little bit worried about needing to validate, or at least I was, everything. But then, you know, it's like these things have been validated. There's so many. That's the nice thing about entering an established market. It's pretty easy to tell what works and what doesn't at this point, because there's so many. So just have to find those.
Yeah. So, and I think the thing that was encouraging about going through all the apps in the App Store, at least, was maybe I'm a little bit biased, but the user experience is not really fantastic. I think probably 8 out of 10 of them, I was like, man, I don't know. It's a bit dodgy, this thing, and you know, it could be done a lot better or more intuitively. And then there was one or two that was like, wow, these guys have really got it together. That's a really good idea. This flow and gamification and all these kinds of things. So you know, just more encouraged that there is opportunity there to build something that is simple and delightful and just really useful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think you mentioned like midweek that you were feeling actually more energized after looking at those, because you know, it's like, oh, okay, I guess the bar isn't all that high.
Anywhere.
Not that like
from a product standpoint, right? Which just reinforces our gut feel that it's not really too much on the kind of product that you build. Your success is going to be determined by how effective your marketing is.
Yeah.
And if there's one message that we're kind of like feeling the heavy weight of, is if you're building a SaaS product as an indie hacker, you need to put a lot of thought into from the beginning, like how are you going to get the word out? How are you going to get in front of the eyeballs that you need to get in front of?
Yeah. So it's like, you know, you can take shortcuts with entering an established market, because a lot of the validation, the discovery and all that has been done for you, but the price you pay... Just reiterating what you just said, the price you pay is you're now competing for eyeballs more than you might in a less established market. But I'll still take it, because that means you don't have to educate, like we don't have to convince people they need a CRM. They already know. They just need to find our CRM, right? The right people need to find it. So yeah. And I think one of the ways that we can do that, kind of circling back to how we started, what we started talking about here, is demystifying tech for small business owners. Because a lot of them are not, like, they know they need a CRM because either their buddies tell them they do, they see other companies using it, or they're just overwhelmed. And that's, I mean, it's, that term's been around for decades. But they don't know where to start, and they know that tech can help them, but they have no idea where to start. So it's just, if we can become that trusted, brand, I guess, that trusted brand that they turn to ask questions, to look at our blog, to, you know, see what we've published. Oh, okay. I've always wanted to use Zapier. Here's how I do that. I think that's probably our biggest in.
And the key word that you're mentioning there is trust. I was quite flabbergasted by some of the CRMs that I was looking at. And for example, they say, oh, we will automatically update your contacts from LinkedIn, for example. But you need to, you know, LinkedIn doesn't provide you an API just to scrape all of everybody's connections. So what they do is they sneakily redirect you to a page that looks like LinkedIn's login page. And you give them your username and password, and then they use your account to like scrape all your connections and stuff. And I was like, they have no scruples about, you know, actually doing that. It's just, So privacy is a big concern, and that's something that we've agreed that we want to feel really strongly about, is building trust and relationship. And our customers' data is our customers' data. We're not going to be using, you know, doing anything dodgy with that stuff. And there's a surprising amount of providers that really don't care. They're just after the numbers, and they'll advertise and market the heck out of this feature, but they don't tell you what they're actually doing behind the scenes to get that right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oof, that is, it gives me the chills. I was doing a facepalm too, for those who can't see, which is everyone. That is just, I mean, that's gotta be against the terms of LinkedIn at least, but yeah, trust is going to be huge. And I think that there's probably a lot of word of mouth marketing that we can leverage once we get going. Getting to that point is a whole different story, but as long as we build that trust, I think that's going to be important.
So there's a couple of aspects. There's the trust aspect where they're really believe in our story brand and establishing a relationship with them. And then simply delightful, right? It's simple to use. And when I use it, it's like, yes, this is, it's intuitively useful. It's creating moments of delight for me. Where I think a lot of this, especially in the CRM space, it's bland, and it's, the information is just all over the place. And, you know, it's not really making your life easier if it's so complex.
I think those are going to be key, and it's easier said than done. Like, probably anyone that ever started a startup ever thought, oh, I can do this better.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I can make this easier to use. So we'll have to see if we can put our money where our mouths are. But I think we can. I think we've got the track record to prove it. So we'll just have to see how that works out. One of the other things I've been thinking about, wanting to get your thoughts on this, is if there are any opportunities to do engineering as marketing. For example, maybe there's some Chrome extension we can create to make, I don't know, like, can't think of a great example, but I know in a previous company, we wanted to email everybody on the Better Business Bureau site for a certain subcategory. And I'm sure this is like gray area against terms and conditions and all that. But like what I did was I just wrote a really quick, basically JavaScript Chrome plugin that you could click on, and it would just go through and copy all the email addresses to a clipboard for the marketing person that I was working with. And they just cold emailed all those people. Now that's a horrible example, but I wonder if there are tools that we can build that would help small businesses like that, that are really quick and easy and won't take much to support, that we just throw out there. This is in, I know this has been in like HubSpot's playbook as well, and a lot of other companies where they'll build seemingly unrelated sites. So like, website grader was one where you can go in and it'll grade your website for things like speed and SEO and all that stuff. And it's just, I don't think there's any servers involved. It's just, minimal servers, I should say, nothing to really keep up, but they built this as a tool that then gets their brand out there. So, you know, it's brought to you by X. Any thoughts on that?
I think that on the surface of it, that sounds like a really good idea. I'm just keenly aware of the limited resources that we have. So I have no problem at all spending time in product research and getting the SEO going, you know, because you have to treat that as a product and you have to, you know, get that snowball going early on. But that kind of feels like something you do a little further down the line where you already have an existing product that you can, that those tools will bring new customers to. So I think with the limited time that we have, I think we have a, we're slowly but surely getting a really good idea about what we want to build. And I think I would prefer to spend that time focusing on getting that MVP out there. Because the more, the closer, whatever gets you closer to speaking to real customers that are using your actual product that you're building, the more real feedback you're going to get. And then, you know, once you've kind of got a little bit of traction with a couple of customers, then, okay, what are the little flywheels that we can put out into the market that can just bring us more? And that kind of feels, so for me, I think a timing thing, maybe not so early on in the process, maybe a little bit later on, but that's kind of off the top of my head what my thoughts are on that.
Well, let me play devil's advocate for a minute. Motivation, like speaking of motivation or getting a jump start, would you rather launch to a list of, say, 5,000 people? Or would you rather, instead of investing time in building that list, launch to a list of 100 people? In other words, I see this as a, from a devil's advocate point of view, potentially more impactful and faster than content marketing, because there's so much competition with content marketing. So we could, if we wanted to think of this as how can we maybe not get people using our product if it doesn't exist yet, how could we build something that would get our brand out there, even if there's no product yet, and get people on a list because they like what we're doing, they like the way we think, and then launch into a bigger list?
So I think like everything, the answer is it depends, right? So it doesn't help you have 5,000 contacts if they're the wrong 5,000. So it would depend on the kind of tool that we build. And that kind of tool would have to very directly, like 100%, target the small business market that we're looking at. So, you know, it's great if you can build something useful for as a Chrome extension, but if it's not drawing your target markets, if it's just like a useful Gmail plugin or something to collect emails, then it's great that you get a whole bunch of people. But if they're not really going to be looking for small business CRMs, then that's maybe a bit of wasted time. So yeah, I mean, for sure, if there was a specific idea that's like, oh, this is something that small businesses really struggle with, and it would take us like a week or a couple of days just to get it out there, and we could make it, then that makes sense, I think. Because then, like you said, if you launch to an audience of the right audience, that should prove super useful. But it has to be the right audience.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I thinking about like motivation, launching to crickets is super demotivational, right? We've all done it probably dozens of times. Sure. But if we could get that list with the right people on it, and I agree, it's not worth building a general purpose, you know, engineering as marketing type tool. It would have to be highly targeted. So it would have to be something for, well, let me back up a half step. We also need to figure out what niche is probably the wrong word, type of small business, what area or what corner of the small business world we want to start with. Because a lot of the companies that are out there are lead focused. And we've talked about this should be able to handle leads, but it's not the primary purpose. The primary purpose is relationships. So there's probably certain types of businesses that care more about relationships. So we need to figure out what those are and then maybe think about, okay, what problems do they have that we as tech guys could solve for them easily that is overwhelming for them? That's kind of where I'm coming from, is like, I feel like we have this, since we're both tech guys, this advantage potentially over some other CRM or SaaS tools out there, where, you know, we're small, we're scrappy, we're not funded. And so we understand where they're coming from. They're small, they're scrappy. They're looking for free, ways to do things. And if we can become known as the guys that help scrappy businesses grow through free tools, if we can give something away, even if it costs us more time up front, then maybe that's a way to build the brand up front so that our launch is more impactful. But on the other hand, playing devil's advocate to my devil's advocate, how much time do we have? Maybe we don't have enough time. So I'm kind of just thinking out loud here. I'm not saying that we should necessarily go think, like stop and think of something and do that. But if we come across a good opportunity, I think that would be more impactful than content marketing, just because, man, the sea of content is enormous.
Yeah. And like you say, it's like marketing is not this single channel. So I guess the secret of source is going to be, what are all the different channels? And what makes sense? What channels make sense to start now? Because I mean, SEO is a no-brainer. You have to get started on that early. And what makes sense to do it later on down the line? So, I mean, it could be that we ship an MVP first and that the idea for that tool comes a little bit later, and then we accelerate the growth with that tool. Or the tool comes about before the MVP is released and we just have an email list versus people actually trying the product out. So for me, that's much of a muchness. Like, you know, getting the MVP out and starting to talk to real customers, getting the user experience of your product, and then getting the word of mouth thing, because that's also, if your product is really that much of a difference, you know, your app store reviews, your app store optimization, that's all about all the reviews that you get and people loving what you've built. And that also takes time.
I'm kind of torn because it's like, on the one hand, being able to build a list before the product exists validates that we can get in front of the right eyeballs, or at least in front of eyeballs. Maybe they're not the right ones. Hopefully they're the right ones. But if we can do that, then it's like, to me, it feels like de-risking the whole marketing, getting attention thing. But on the other hand, that might be easier in a market like we're in to do once we've got like app stores and things like that to ride the coattails of, in terms of getting some attention.
Yeah.
And I'm just like you, I'm itching to write code, but I'm just trying to stop myself from doing the same thing I've always done, I guess.
Yeah. And it's a little tricky because, you know, I think you got to put yourself in the shoes of your potential customer and say, well, they come to a point where either they have an existing CRM that's just completely not working for them, or they're still stuck on Excel and paper and, you know, Rolodex is in the office, and they say, well, I need a CRM that I can collaborate with my small team and we can keep track of the conversations and the relationships that we're having with our customers. Let me Google and see what's out there. And then your, I guess, your social proof is going to be super important, because within you've got about 10 seconds on your landing page. And if you don't have some sort of existing customers that love what you do, you can have all the helpful articles in the world. But if you don't have like evidence of other customers that have really found benefit to what you're doing, then they're just going to bounce and look for the next thing. It's quite interesting reading the App Store reviews. More than once, I ran into people that said, oh man, I was looking for months until I found this specific thing that met my needs. So it really is like there's all sorts out there, and there's very specific requirements. And people really do. I mean, you found this with your Reddit research that you were doing. So people really look hard and seem to struggle to find exactly what fits their needs.
And I still see those. I keep an eye on a few of the subreddits where these came up. And there's still, like this weekend, a few posts that came up basically repeating the same exact thing over and over again. So where do you feel like you are right now in terms of how much, like, are you proposing that we start building now, or do we still have some work to do?
I would say start building soon. So just from my side, I think I've pretty much covered the app store side. I would like to do some onboarding of websites, and just see how that, you know, where they have a mobile app, how that compares to their mobile experience. Where their dedicated websites, are they doing anything special, you know, for their onboarding? You know, the drip emails that come through and that kind of thing. And what worked really well for me with remote time when we were talking last year is kind of like switching it up a bit. You know, you get new energy. So you kind of get a little bit drained with this marketing thing after a week or two. Mm-hmm. And then it's really helpful to switch to, I mean, because getting the infrastructure up for the tech side is still, you know, that takes time. But it's also doing something different. It gives you new energy, keeps you motivated to get to your desk in the evening kind of thing. So I guess from my perspective, I'd still want to carry on with the website onboarding stuff and recording those videos so that we have something to look at when we're finished with the infrastructure. It's like, how do we want the user experience to be? What are the core features for us? But as soon as that shouldn't take more than, say, this week. And then I want to dive into the mobile app infrastructure and, you know, just the things that we don't need to think about, like language support and theming and, you know, logging and analytics and all those things that you've been doing with the website already. I've got a little bit of catching up to do on the tech side where you've already done that for the website. I think that's, you know, once we've done a little bit of that, I'm looking forward to... So what I did was, I don't know if you saw, I created a product board in GitHub where we can just throw ideas, feature ideas on there for points of discussion when we get to the actual building the MVP, you know, when both of us are kind of comfortable, we've got all the infrastructure up and running. Privacy is important to us, this whole concept of tagging everything up with a simple tag that you can easily search for it later. Something I saw earlier today when I was recording some videos was one of the CRMs referred to their contacts as relationships explicitly, which was super cool for me. You don't add a contact, you add a relationship. That was really cool. So just like points of discussion and then coming up with some, I guess, wireframes on what do we think it's going to look like. That's going to be super energizing once we get to that point. But yeah, and then spacing that with, okay, well, we've got two blog posts up already, maybe three by the end of this week or next week. Ideating on maybe keeping that going with maybe once a month or something like that, and what the topic should be. I really like the idea around helping small businesses, you know, in a practical way. I feel that feels like a nice kind of side entry into getting that traction going. How about you? What are your thoughts?
Well, it's kind of like a chicken and egg scenario, because it'll be easier to come up with things to write about when we have customers telling us about stuff, about what their challenges are.
Yes.
But we're writing about stuff to attract customers. So it's like, I'm a little torn, because on the one hand, I definitely want to write more because I know it takes time. So I want to get it out there. On the other hand, because it takes time, I don't want to spend too much time on it, because there's like lower hanging fruit, it feels like, that we could pick up. I'm just like, I'm torn. I really want to talk to some other customers or potential customers. I really want to. And I could chase them down on Quora, Reddit, whatever. I could cold email and get some people to probably respond. But then I also go back and forth, like you said, you know, this is not new territory. These features are not like from scratch. We know the table stakes. We know the minimum things that people need. So why not just build those, put it out there, and let people tell us that it's not enough?
Yes.
So I'm really torn. I got to tell you. I mean, I'm ready from the tech side of things. I'm ready to start building a shell of the app like today. But I want to make sure that, and if it were just for the web, I could do that today. But we want to make sure that the web version and the mobile version are similar enough to where it's intuitive to switch between them. So we need to align on that. So I guess I'm going to look for one more content idea. Thought about doing it around like Google Ads for beginners, but Google Ads is not for beginners. It's an easy way to lose thousands of dollars. So I'm almost don't want to do that one, but I'm going to look for something. I'd like to get three up there, because we have like in the UI, three articles across for each row in this grid of articles. So I might as well make it look, you know, one row full. But that's a dumb reason. That's kind of a dumb reason why I want to do that. And then I really want to get started. And I'm thinking maybe by the time I get that written, that third one written, you'll have had a chance to go through the web versions, a few web onboarding experiences, record those, and I'll be able to review those. And then we can, I think, get together and talk about, okay, here's what the shell should look like. Or here's what we could start with. We've got to start with, we could start with like the domain model. What is a contact, or what does it need? What fields should allow for more than one phone number, more than one address? Like, how does that look? Just the like super tactical stuff. I guess I'm saying that I'll start with content, but I'm really itching to get into the tech side, build some stuff after that, because maybe I'm overthinking the marketing side of things. I don't know. This is tough.
Yeah, it is. And I think just from my side, I think we're getting a good balance of just, I think the infrastructure for getting the marketing out there is super important. So I'm feeling like we're in a real good space. You know, all that good work that you did with the WordPress and being able to get the articles out there. Now, I'm fairly certain maybe 2 or 3 weeks down the line, we're just randomly going to think of an article idea in the shower and go, oh, that's a really good one. And we've got the infrastructure now just to type it up quickly and post it. So I'm glad we invested in that early on and upfront. That way we can ship consistently, you know, periodically. I think the most valuable feedback to me is getting just one eyeball in front of your actual product and going, customer interview, you know, jobs to be done. What job do you need to do, and why is simple CRM not doing that job for you? Like, what can we tweak? And then we'll quickly know I'm speaking to the right person, and we just need to add these one or two things, which is in line with our mission. Or somehow our messaging, however we got this customer, is not right because they're looking for something that Simple CRM is not. So whatever the messaging is that got them there, we need to tweak that. So maybe it's our website copy, or maybe it's our outreach methodology, or whatever it is. So yeah, real people, real customers, it's where it's at.
Yeah. So yeah, it's a good point about like the shower thoughts. It's like the version of if you're stuck when you're writing code, if you're stuck, just go for a walk and it'll just come to you 9 times out of 10. Maybe that's where I'm at right now. Just need to go for a metaphorical walk and do something else and come back to it. As long as we come back to it periodically, you know, I think that's the goal.
And I think also we know like the theory of everything that we need to get done. But something that we've realized is, you know, we're doing this after hours and we're prioritizing time with our family, and we don't want to be like spending time with the kids and be absolutely super drained because we're doing something that we don't enjoy for most of the week. So if we feel like we get to a point, there doesn't have to be a good reason for it. It's like if we feel like I'm going to do engineering this week because that's what's going to give me energy and that's how I'm going to have fun, then let's do it. We don't need to ask permission from anyone to do that. Maybe in hindsight, the app takes 2 months or 6 months longer to get traction. You know, in my mind, I don't really care about that. So long as we're getting to the goal and we're having fun getting there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So I think, one thing we can do that is doable now is start sending out emails. We have this email infrastructure, right, via WordPress. The way we set that up is you can write an article, and the type of article is an email. That's how we set it up in WordPress. And as soon as you hit publish, it goes out to our list. Nice. And that works today, right? So we can do that now. There's no reason to wait. I actually forgot about that functionality. And that first one can include details about like this first Zapier article. Ever want to get started? Didn't know where to start? Here you go. This is the type of stuff we're going to post. Here's why. So I guess that email in itself could be a type of article. Maybe that's my third article since I had that number stuck in my head. It won't show up on the site. It'll be an email only. So sign up if you want to see it. But I think that's maybe a good way to wrap up the first foray into our content marketing and then let things simmer for a little bit. I can see our first articles are getting some search traffic somehow. I don't know how, but like We have some DuckDuckGo traffic, which is good. So that means somehow it was found and something resonated. We can dig into that, but kind of want to let it bake and simmer and come back to it later. So I'm with you. I think you've convinced me to tie up what I've got going and start moving back into the tech world and or not tech world, the building side of things.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So to answer your original question, I guess this week I will send out that email and then you and I will sync up on where to start in terms of building after these onboarding videos are done.
Yeah, sounds good.
Cool. All right. Well, seems like a good place to wrap up. I do actually have a dad joke. It's a really short one.
Go for it.
So, what did the evil chicken lay?
What did the evil chicken lay?
What did the evil chicken lay? Deviled eggs.
They're actually really good.
I love deviled eggs.
Yeah. Yeah, I was talking to a friend yesterday, and he was saying his favorite dad joke comes from his 11-year-old son. And it's quite simple. What is red and not good for your teeth?
I don't know.
A brick.
True. Yeah, that's very true. All right. Well, so we're going to try to stick to Mondays. We'll see if I can package this one up and get it out today still. But whether it's Monday or Tuesday, we'll come up with a regular schedule. And I guess that means we'll talk next week.
Yep. See what we can do.
All right. We'll see you then.
To the right. If you enjoyed this episode and you want an easy way to support us, we'd love it if you reviewed this podcast on whichever platform you're using to tune in. If you'd like to ask a question, you can send us an email to hello@indiedads.com or message us directly on Twitter. You can also find us at indiedads.com, where you can see show notes, links to our Twitter profiles, and product websites. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.